That old wheel is gonna roll around once more. When it does, it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in.
Don't give in.
That old wheel will roll around again.
That will even the score.
When love is gone, and the one you thought would stay does you wrong.
Does you wrong.
And you're left alone to pay. The price is high.
Way high.
But through Christ you'll survive. Don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Amen.
That old wheel, gonna roll around once more. When it does,
and when it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak,
don't be weak.
As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Play it, Paul, for the boy.
There'll be times hard to control, and you'll find you'll hurt down in your soul. There'll be those who'll be glad to see you down, but don't give in.
Amen.
That old wheel will roll around again.
That old wheel.
It's gonna roll around once more. When it does. It will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. That old wheel will roll around again.
Is gonna roll around once more. When it does,
it will even up the score. Don't be weak. As they sow, they will reap. Turn the other cheek and don't give in. 'Cause that old wheel will roll around again. Roll around again.
And it has, and good morning and welcome to Coffee with the Radio Ranch Wranglers. And we're coming to you live it's a overcast and snowy morning here at the Radio Ranch this 22nd day of March 2014, but that's springtime in the Rockies, so we can live with that. Good morning, Kyle.
Good morning.
Why don't I push this button here and try it again? Good morning, Kyle.
Good morning.
All right. And good morning, Jason.
Good morning.
And good morning, John.
Good morning.
There they are. Like I said, guys, got to make sure you got your coffee here. That's what gets me going at 7 o'clock in the morning. And we are coming to you live from the Radio Ranch. And we'll have the phone lines open here in just a little bit if you want to call in this Saturday morning and make a comment or ask a question or whatever. But, Jason, would you open us up in prayer this morning, sir?
Oh, dear Heavenly Father, we come before you and we're grateful to be here. And we just ask, Father, for your blessing upon this radio program this morning. We ask that you guide us and direct us in our thoughts, and that you just allow this broadcast to go out upon the airways mightily and powerfully. We claim the Holy Spirit to guide us and direct us. We ask, Father, that you be with the remnant. Pray on that full armor of God this morning. Having done everything to stand firm, we gird our loins with truth. We put on the breastplate of righteousness. We shod our feet with the preparation of the gospel of peace. We put on the helmet of salvation, the shield of faith, and the sword of the Spirit, which is the word of God. And we pray and petition for the saints, and we do pray for the saints across this land, Father, those that are yours and that serve you, and we ask for your blessings to come down upon them, and we ask that you bless them with abundance, that you see to it that their cup overflows with blessings that come from your throne, and that you let them recognize that it's from you. Pray for our people to rise higher and higher as our enemies are brought down lower and lower, and we ask that you continue to guide us into all truth. We ask that you just continue to work in our lives as we draw closer to you. And we're grateful for this 91st day that we were able to have this last week, and we look forward to that Passover. We ask that you just continue to quicken people in their hearts in their minds to observe that Passover this year. Let them know how important it is, and we ask that you just make preparations for them to set that time apart on that day, and if nothing else, to take communion that day in observance of the Passover. In Jesus Christ's name we pray, amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. And speaking of that Passover, we're going to keep reminding you of it. It is April 2nd. We just started the new solar year on the spring equinox, which was 2 days ago. And you count 14 days from then, and it takes us to May 2nd. And that's the 14th day of Abib, and that's when the Passover is. So if you'll mark your calendars, April 2nd. And if you got the Scriptures for America calendar that we sent out with the very first Dragon Slayer of this year, you have that marked on your calendar. And we did get a calendar out with the 91st days and the Passover marked on it as a reminder and as a thank you for all those that support us here. And we're planning on having at least an hour-long service, probably during the live broadcast hour from the church on that April 2nd. So we encourage you to join us there like you would on a Sunday morning. And we'll have a communion and a Passover service. So we encourage you to join us there. John, how are things going with you down there?
Good. Still kind of fighting off this crud. Don't know why, but it's all good.
Well, that's good to hear. Good to hear. Saw some, you had some interesting emails that kind of floated around yesterday. Have we not just stepped right into Sodom and Gomorrah with this on-demand filth that these cable companies are making available?
Yeah, phone companies too. Verizon.
Yeah, they've got their hands in everything, and
kind of makes you want to stomp on your phone.
Yeah. Well, that ain't the only thing that makes me want to stomp on my phone, but that certainly is there. And it just, you know, the pastor taught years ago that they cannot stop, can they? I mean, they just continue. It's like to come up with new ways to cause our people to sin and new ways to put filth before us. I guess when you have something that works, they say, why change it, huh?
Devil knows his time's limited, and that time is coming. So they're pulling out all the stops and every aspect that they can.
Yeah, amen.
At least that's how I see it.
Well.
Yeah, I mean, then there's a lot of different ways you can look at it. You can say that it's like we stepped right into Sodom and Gomorrah, but at the same time you think about it, you know, Sodom and Gomorrah could be a lot worse than that. I know that you look around and we see a lot of things going south, but at the same time you look around and things could get a whole lot worse. It's all in a matter of perspective. And you start looking at the differences. There's a lot of bad things going on, but still there's a lot of ways that you can get away from it too. And you know, you still have a lot of options. And
we got to remember too, in Noah's time, the reason God destroyed the earth was man's thoughts were continually evil.
Exactly. And if you look into that,
there.
Right. And it you know, it talks about that and how it was. I mean, there was, and from reading those contexts and looking those words up, I think it was all men were, that's where their thoughts were continually. It when you look into it, I mean, there wasn't a good thought that ever entered into their minds.
Right. And there's those that are out there that I'm sure that applies to, but it's not worldwide.
Oh, absolutely.
Yet.
Sure seems like we're trying to get there, though, as a people, or at least allowing it.
I wonder what they said. I wonder what they said in Sodom and Gomorrah. Oh, we're not that bad. I really wonder that. I mean, Abraham, he didn't realize how bad they were. Yeah. As he's, you know, begging if there's 50 or 40 or 30. It just makes you wonder. I don't know how bad those places were. And I don't know if you're in the middle of darkness, as thick as darkness as they were in and maybe we're in, if you realize
how bad you are.
Yeah. Compared to, you know, the 1700s or something. I mean, we could go a lot worse, but I don't want to.
Yeah,
you know?
I sure don't want to.
No, I don't either.
Yeah, but
I just wonder what their thoughts were. If they thought, I'm not near as bad as Billy Bob down the road there. You know, there's all kinds of vehicles parked out in front of his house all night long. You know, I don't know what they were thinking, but
I don't know.
Yeah. Well, bottom line is, if they're breaking God's laws, then they're all in the same boat.
Yeah. Yeah, it's, you know, it was a good prayer this morning, Jason, about the saints, because, you know, God does have his remnant. Amen. You know what I mean? So
thankful.
And that's what kind of is a little bit different today than it was back then. You know, yeah, he saved Noah, you know, and his three sons and all their wives, you know, but today, and I don't think it's very big, the remnant, but that he has a remnant out there. So we can band together, bond together, you know, keep fellowshipping together and encourage one another to do the right thing. And I'm not sure those days don't appear like they had that, you know, going for them like we do, you know. So there's a plus side to it.
Yeah, thank God he does have his remnant, that ecclesia, that called out ones. And, you know, that's
those
what
won't
we...
won't bother Nita Bell.
Amen. And that's what we continue to do here, is just to try to get that truth of the gospel out. To try to open the people's eyes to see the evil that's out there. And hopefully they start to see it now before it does get any worse. So that
I
they
see,
can make
I see
preparations
our mission.
Now.
I see our mission in this ministry is the same that it's always been, the same that it was when Dad started it, and that is to teach those that can to repent and to come to the truth of baptism. That's our mission.
Yeah, I agree with it.
Absolutely.
And that's encouraging. You know, I mean, there's very little that's encouraging that goes on in the world, or, you know, even in the smaller spectrums, like in town in Laramie, there's very little that encourages when you go to the post office, or if you happen to go out to eat, or to the store. In fact, most things you see discourage you. But well, James 5:19-20, where it tells you to help turn a brother from the error of his way, and you'll save a soul from death and hide a multitude of sins. That's encouraging. You know, because I was there once. You know, I mean, I didn't know I was there. You know, I didn't know how far that I needed to be changed from the errors of my way. But you know, that's the most encouraging thing at least in my life. I'm sure you guys would say the same thing. And that's the. Go ahead.
Yep. The angels rejoice when even one gives his life to God and repents, you know, turns from his wicked ways, and you know, there's a joy in our hearts when even one, and I'm sure the world looks at that as funny, you know, we're, wow, look at these people, they're all excited about one person who's repented and given their life to Jesus Christ, but you know, we're a peculiar people, at least the world would call us a peculiar people.
Yeah, you think about it, and you know, we can rejoice more over one getting added to that Lamb's Book of Life than, you know, having 20,000 show up to see old Olstein, you know, congregate. I mean, there's just such a difference, you know, when someone is, you know, is transformed, than you know, a true transformation, than than the false one.
Speaking of old Olstein, do you realize that $600,000 was just from a Saturday and a Sunday service? You know,
yeah,
how he,
that's what I heard.
Wow. Is that unbelievable? But then I was reading in the 91st days. I was in Malachi over and over. It's such a short book that it's pretty easy to read, and I seem to get more out of it every time I read it. But I think that's, in a way, kind of what God was saying, how he was abhorred by their false offerings, you know. These people who are giving all these money to these ministries that do nothing but live lavishly on it and you know, count their filthy lucre. I think that's one of the warnings in Malachi.
Yeah, I think you're right.
So he was robbed of $600,000 in 1 day, or 2 days, worth?
Just for the Saturday and the Sunday service.
Did they ever locate the...
Probably $666,000.
Yeah, probably. Did they ever catch the guy who took it, or the group of guys?
I hadn't heard anything. I don't think so.
Oh.
Yeah, can you turn Kyle's mic down just a little bit?
Sure. Oh, I'm so...
He's booming in.
I don't mean to blow your ears out.
Everybody else.
He gets a little excited.
He got up earlier. He's more awake.
Yeah.
He's about 50% louder than everybody else.
It's that 25-minute drive out here where I have to think, you know. So. Yeah.
And he gets to get a good coffee.
I'll tell you what's exciting, too, though. What's exciting is we saw the old Doug Dynasty boys take a stand against Babylon, even though they have much more to learn. But and then this week, again, publicly... A man, I guess, drove from New York to Louisiana to be baptized. And it was immersion baptism,
yes.
Repentance for the remission of his sins. And the funny thing is, the people that you've talked to for years about baptism and tried to explain to them and showed them the scriptures and said, what do you got to lose? I mean, if you don't do this, you have a lot to lose. There's no negatives, and there's a ton of positives. And then they watch this or see this article, and the next thing you know, they're like, wow, you know what? There might be something to that, what you were saying. And I'm like, yeah.
Yeah, whatever it takes, huh?
But hey, exactly, whatever it takes. If it's the TV that's going to get you to finally come to repentance and be properly baptized, then praise Jesus. This is interesting, too. It was, I don't watch a whole lot of TV, but I ended up, this had this Ozark redneck show, and I'm, you know, I kind of like redneck shows, so. I'm watching this, and sure enough, it was right after I read the article in the news that on this TV show, they did the same thing, went down into the river and baptized a man for the remission of sins in the name of Jesus Christ, and I'm like, wow, there's two witnesses there.
Really? Is that a new show or something? I've never heard of it.
Yeah, I forget what it was called. It's down in the Ozarks, you know, so it's Arkansas, and it's... I mean, these guys are redneck for sure, but guy just realized that he needed to change his life and wanted to be part of this small Christian church that this community had built and supported. And I'll tell you what, they did not hesitate from using the name Jesus Christ, and it was good to see.
Wow, that is neat.
That is. That's good to hear. Good to hear. And that's interesting too, John. When you said, you know, if it's the people have to see it, finally see the truth, even on TV, you know, maybe the enemy understands it, maybe they don't, in letting that out. But it's amazing how they'll see these mega churches and, you know, how God loves you, and they'll hear that, how God loves you and wants to prosper you, and just, you know, all that good news, ear tickling. But
yeah.
His remnant out there, whether they're in, you know, New Jersey or New York or Southern California or down there in the Ozarks, when
could
his
it
remnant
be that
sees
what it is,
or hears the truth.
There's finally someone who's willing to stand and didn't fold because of money and contracts and fame and notoriety. And then once there's someone who's willing to do that, that God will continue to allow them to be a light. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Because I can't remember seeing the proper baptism that was, you know, basically put out there on the news, yeah. National news.
Yeah. Yeah, I saw that. That was pretty interesting, and it's good. It was good to know too that it sure seems like, you know, that the fame and fortune hasn't changed that Christian a whole lot. At least he still comes back to those roots, still has that foundation. So that's good.
Remember, Dad always said that if a politician would just come up and stand on his Christian roots no matter what, and when they find the dirt on him, would just say, you know what, that was the old me. I've been washed in the blood of Jesus Christ, and I've been forgiven. If he would only just do that, then God would bless him all the way through the process.
Yeah.
But they don't always back down.
Yeah, very few.
That's a good point, yeah.
Very few. You know, one positive was last Monday was St. Patrick's Day. And, you know, there's a few Irish up in Boston, just a few. And they have a big parade up there, they say that some of the St. Patrick's Day parades in places like Boston and New York predate the Constitution. You know, they were having them before basically the country was formed the way it is now. But in Boston, they have a big parade, you know, a 2.5-hour parade, big parade, you know. And so they had it last Monday. And one of the things that the organizers of the Boston St. Patrick's Day parade have set up in their bylaws is that they have the right to refuse to let any group that they want to either be in or not be in the parade.
Participate?
Yeah, participate or not. And that's gone, I guess, you know, up through their state courts and whatnot. Well, you know, the filthy faggot homosexuals, they want to be in the parade. And the developer or the promoters and the people responsible for the Boston St. Patrick's Day Parade put their tongue on the top of their mouths and said no. And, oh, everybody came against them. Well, of course, you didn't see it out here much, you know, out west, but back east, everybody from the state legislatures and all the media groups, and they had sponsors of the parade that pulled out, companies that absolutely pulled out of the parade and said, well, if you're not going to allow them, we're not going to be in there. And the people said, good. And they had the parade, up till the morning. They said the parade organizers, they were getting so many calls from the mayor's office that morning, they just had to turn their phones off. Because even the mayor and all them were just, you know, oh, you got to let them in, oh. And they just said no. And so they had the parade. The world didn't end by not including the homosexuals. and they said the parade, they had a great parade. And what reminded me of it, John, is when you started talking about those politicians. Because, oh, the politicians, you know, they don't want to offend that homosexual, filthy faggot pervert section. And so none of them were walking in it. Well, before the parade was over, a couple of them had stepped out in there, because I think a couple of them saw that very thing, John, that, hey, wait a minute. You know, the people aren't rioting because we didn't let the filthy faggots in. And so, you know, they kind of got in on the parade, so to speak, to at least a couple of politicians. And one person, I think, that's running for governor. And walked with it. Now, the news reports I saw, they said that, you know, there was like one float that had these cardboard cannons, and like the flags sticking out of them were different colors, and it was supposed to represent the rainbow, you know, the Rainbow Coalition and the diversity crowd. And there was one other, they allowed that in, and then there was one other that was like, we are South Boston, you know, accept diversity. And that was all they had on their banner, and had about six or eight people walking like that. They allowed that in there, and that was it. And so the news report said when you couldn't even, when these floats would go by, everybody got quiet. They didn't know what they were, you know. But that those were the only two floats that the news media covered, you know. And it made it seem like those were the biggest, greatest floats in the world. Front page on the Boston paper, you know, this diversity float. 2.5 hours of parade, and that's the one that gets on the front page of the newspaper. And so, you know,
who owns the media?
Exactly. And so, you know, the media continues to push and promote these things. And, you know, but the people, you know, even them Yankees in Boston, you know, I tip my hat to him.
Another bright spot was that Governor Scott Walker there in Wisconsin, he apparently on his webpage, I didn't look into it, but apparently he has on there the scripture Philippians 4:13, and he made reference to it in a speech that he gave from the whatever, the courthouse or whatever, and he came against immediate fire from, imagine that, Freedom from Religion Foundation, which is right there in Madison, Wisconsin, and he just told them the same thing, put his tongue up on the roof of his mouth and said, no, I'm not removing it,
right.
And yes, I'm going to proclaim it, and I believe it, you know, so maybe there is a politician who might stand on the truth.
Yep. Well, guys, phone line's ringing.
Like a pretty good parade that we're talking about. I mean, you think about it, you get rid of the homosexuals out of the parade, and then those that support the homosexuals out of the parade, that's a...
Yeah.
Man.
Yeah. I think so. You know,
what they were saying is they have their own parade. They have their own stinking gay pride parade. And if people wanted to protest against that, they're not allowed to be in the parade.
Yeah. No, you can't.
You have to be pro-homosexual to be in the parade.
Yeah. Yeah, it was good. Well, guys, the phone's ringing. Let's check the phone lines this morning. Oh, so much for that. Have to call back then if you want. And 307-745-5913 if you do want to call in this Saturday morning. Yeah, when I saw that, it was encouraging to see that they're in Boston, that they stood up to that and just told them no, and because they knew that, you know, hey, it's a family affair. The schools are out. It was Monday, you know. I mean, it's like a national holiday in Boston, St. Patrick's Day, and you know, they had school ROTC groups marching in it, and everybody you could imagine except the Antichrist, heavily militant, pro-sexual pervert crowd. So that would have been worth a trip to Boston to see.
No. I got a rule. Try not to cross the Mississippi.
Oh, come on.
Unless you have to.
There's some good people east of the Mississippi still. A lot of good ones.
Oh, I know.
And you know, it's interesting, too, the what is coming out of Connecticut, it seems like. And, Jason, maybe you're up more on it than – you probably are more up on it than I am. But it sure seems like that, you know, we had talked about all those people that stood in line and registered their guns in Connecticut. But it seems like there's 10 or 20 times that many that are saying no to it.
Saying no?
Yeah. And
New York too. Just that, I mean, they're basically, they've having riots over people saying no. You know, they've went out. They've, what do they call it? Is it the SAFE Act up in New York, requiring everybody to do all the registration forms, sending them the registration forms in the mail, and there's people that are marching in the streets having bonfires with them. So
yeah.
You know, they're just like, you know, we're not going to comply. And I really did, there was a couple videos that hit the circuit here just recently about the Connecticut. You know, it was a Marine that was a retired Marine, then he turned firefighter, and he was a active firefighter.
I saw that one.
You know, he went up to his legislatures and says, okay, so what are you going to do with me when I don't comply? And he says, because I will not comply. He's like, I've been a law-abiding citizen for, you know, 45 years, and I just don't see how, with the stroke of a pen, you can make me from being a law-abiding citizen into a felon. And, you know, I just want to know what you're going to do with me when I do not comply. And you should just hear the crowd cheer when he says that.
Yeah.
You know, it took these legislatures. You could look at them, and you could just, you know, see the disgust and the fear in their face. And you look at them, and you could tell what they are. If you look closely at them, you know, they were just, I mean,
you know,
pure Jew. I mean, it was sure. Like it emanated from their faces, and you know, you could see that they weren't our people. They were, you know, that alien race, and when they get told that, You know, their whole demeanor changed.
Yeah.
It was just...
Well, you really can't blame them. They're trying to protect their lives because they know at some point the people are going to figure it out.
Yeah, exactly. But, I mean, in New York, same thing's going on. Connecticut, same thing's going on. You know, it was interesting because just Idaho this last week, you know, they passed it, and it was, I can't remember the exact numbers. It was 57 in one branch to zero, and I think it was 40-0 in the other. But and then they're just waiting on the governor to sign it. But it was called the anti-gun law that makes it illegal for any of the state, local law enforcement agencies to enforce any of the new federal gun laws. And
yeah, Missouri's doing that too.
Yeah, I mean, and there's several states that are doing that. I mean, we've been hearing about these ones that are going forward with this gun legislation just full bore, you know, full steam ahead. But then there's other ones that have made the, you know, quite the opposite measures, and you know, are saying no. And I mean, it is made it against any of the state laws, absolutely illegal to the point of you will be imprisoned if a sheriff, deputy, if a police officer tries to enforce one of these federal gun laws.
Yeah, that's great.
And Idaho's got a lot of stuff going on like that too, but it's just kind of interesting. I mean, it's one of those things that too, you know, you hear more about what's going on in Connecticut, New York, stuff like that, than instead of these states that are like Missouri and Idaho, where they're taking measures against it, and we'll see what happens. But it is interesting. I mean, just to see how different the states are in their thinking.
Yeah.
Well,
you guys see? I don't know if you've been following this Russia Romania thing, but it appears to be some evidence that the U.S. was in there trying to establish basically a shadow government within Ukraine before Russia came in there and basically is protecting Ukraine is what I'm reading, but I don't know. It's kind of through the not the main.
Yeah,
media.
That's what I just started hearing this week too. Was just a few things on that. You know, I think that there's a lot more that we have no idea. It was interesting because they got a lot more on it on some of these different out of the United States news media sources than we're getting here in the United States. But it was there was definitely something more going on. The U.S. had some major involvement that they're not telling us over here about what it was.
Yeah, the CIA was involved with Blackwater and apparently snipers picking off people on both sides to try to get them to fight against each other, which kind of sounds like their tactic.
Yeah, exactly. They've been guilty of that time and time again.
Yeah, it wouldn't be the first time that they had done that.
Yeah. Fighting both sides of the war. But have you guys heard anything more on that missing plane? I guess the last I heard is they think it may have landed in Pakistan.
I haven't.
That's all I heard. I heard that they got a ping on some of the cell phones and they were thinking Pakistan.
Yeah, well, I guess the interesting thing was that Boeing had said that once both the transponders were shut off, that the pinging from the engines, which are Mercedes-Benz engines, I guess, send a signal to a satellite, and they had continued to send those signals for 7 hours after the point of them losing them on the radar. So if it crashed, then the engines wouldn't have been pinging them.
Yeah,
but you think they could follow where it comes. There's something they're not telling us on that, I'm sure. But I think it has something to do with this this whole Russian Crimea thing, too.
Yeah. Whether it's a distraction or, if there was a plane or who was on the plane or what was on the plane or, I mean, there's a lot of questions that you'd think that would be being answered, but I sure haven't seen an intelligent answer on.
No, not at all. Well, we have the phone lines open, 307-745-5913, if you want to give a call this morning.
That's funny. I just got a text from Gary. Said, hope you get over the crud soon, brother. Go easy on us on the other side of the Mississippi.
That's right.
I knew I stepped in something when I said that.
Yeah. That's where some of us come from.
I got a text that says that Idaho governor signed the bill on the 21st. So, yeah, that did pass then.
Which one?
Well, good.
The Idaho bill that they had. Yeah, he signed it on the 21st, so that was yesterday. So I guess that did go in effect yesterday.
Well, good. You know, if nothing else, it seems like that I know we've talked in the past that, you know, we see things like that, and it's like, well, I hope our people are waking up, and it seems like maybe they're just rolling over in their slumber. But it still is encouraging to me that if nothing else, it seems like the people are seeing more and more that there's a they and an us. That they can think this way, and they can pass the laws they want to, but for us, we're going to do this. And, you know, it maybe hasn't moved into the spiritual realm yet, but maybe it's got to start in the physical realm, you know? Well, guys, the phone lines are ringing. Let's try them this morning. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Yeah, on this plane, I fear it's going to be used as a false flag to blame Iran, you know, because that's who the Jews want to fight. Now, if you look on your map, there's a group of islands south of India called the Maldives, and there was a report about fishermen out in the ocean seeing this plane come flying low, you know. And after the plane, and I think they're leaving a trail, and after the Maldives, if the plane turned right, it could go to Iran. But if it turned left, there's a real secret American base down there in a group of islands, Diego Garcia. And it's like real high-tech, real secret, and real lot of dirty stuff goes on down there. And I think that plane is sitting there waiting until the time is right, you know, down some little island somewhere they build a landing strip. And then they'll send it over here to the United States and have it fall out of the sky somewhere, and then they can blame it on Iran because they had those guys down there with the false passports, you know. And so Iran's the boogeyman, I think, is what's going to happen.
Could very well be.
Now, where exactly are you talking? Are you talking about over there in the Persian Gulf?
No, in the Indian Ocean. If you got your map out, you look on India, and south of India, there's a group of islands called the Maldives. Now, it supposedly was reported flying low over the ocean by some fishermen there, and then if you look after it passes the Maldives, if it turns right, it goes up the Arabian Sea and goes to Iran. But if it turns left, it goes down to a group of islands called the Chagos Archipelago. And that is a real super secret American base. And all those little islands, it can be landed on there somewhere just waiting to be launched at the right time.
Okay, all right. Yep, I see what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Got to kind of pull it up. They could pretty good size to be able to see it there.
Yeah, it's... It's, you know, they could put extra fuel tanks in it by now and everything, so it could probably fly nonstop to the U.S. or, you know, if it didn't want to stop over in Africa, you know. But it could cross Africa in some of these remote places and, you know, not let anybody know about it. And so, you know, that's what I think's going on because, you know, who's behind it. And they're desperate for a war with Iran. So they'll do anything, you know.
Hey, we appreciate the call, and thanks for sharing that with everybody.
Okay.
All right, thank you. And one more phone ringing here. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with the Wranglers.
Morning. It's Tom in Missouri.
Hey, good morning, Tom. Let me pour you a cup. I got a fresh pot here, and it's here
good.
Somewhere. So, yeah, there we go. Somewhere in there. So how's Tom in Missouri?
Doing great. I just have one problem. Earlier you were discussing rednecks in the Ozarks, and I know rednecks can be anywhere, but we're hillbillies here. At least in Missouri we call ourselves hillbillies. There's a difference.
Yeah.
Just kidding.
Yeah.
I don't know if you...
Tom, you have to excuse John. He's from Chicago.
I'd explain it.
Yeah, so he's a transplant like we all are out here, most of us anyway. So,
way to go. Tell them all.
That's right. There you go.
I don't know if you guys caught the ongoing battle at the Air Force Academy. The one cadet had, I can't remember the scripture verse now, it's just left me. He had it written on like one of those dry erase boards, one of those whiteboards, in his room, and he was forced to erase it because there is a particular guy, I think it's Mark Weinstein or Weinstein, that is supposedly an atheist, and then he's attacking them. And but they have the pro-homosexual stuff going on, they have the pro-atheist stuff going on. But anything that even might kind of sort of look like Christianity is just being hardcore attacked. And I'm actually glad for the homosexuals sticking their head up more and more, getting in people's faces more and more. Because I'm noticing it just in the people around me that before were just kind of whatever, you know, do your own thing, just don't bother me. They're starting to get a little indignant at it, and they're starting to stand up and go, wait a minute, this ain't right. But I'm kind of thankful for the queers standing up and getting in everybody's face.
Yep, the terrors are becoming bold and brazen, easy to spot.
And I think that it helps to wake some Israelites up, too.
Amen.
Yeah, it's another part of the absolute war on Christianity. And we have seen different things come out of that Air Force Academy along those lines. That, you know, atheism is fine. They have their new Wiccan temples up there, where you know the homosexuals can go get married in the Wiccan temples, at the Air Force Academy, and all that's fine and dandy. But yeah, God forbid you put something like "Praise God" on your whiteboard. You get all but thrown out. And, you know, I think that this ties in with the absolute coup that we've seen, the Obama administration, all of the high-ranking majors and generals and colonels that they have completely replaced over the last 6 years in the military. It's as the days of Egypt, you know. In our days of captivity there arose a pharaoh who knew not Joseph, and he didn't know Joseph's God. And we are reliving that today, and we're seeing that it's not only the Obama nation, it's not only the president, but it's the cabinets, it's the military leaders that are all being replaced, and the military itself, with the sinners, the ungodly, the filthy, the abominations. And it ain't over yet, that's for sure. And hopefully these things will open up the eyes of the remnant before it is too late.
Amen. Y'all have a good morning. Thank you.
Thank you, Tom.
Yeah,
John, you stopped by there recently,
didn't
you?
No, it's interesting. Go ahead.
Oh, I just was asking John that you've stopped by that Air Force Academy down there recently, didn't you? Didn't you had mentioned something about the chapel they have or museum or something down there? Maybe that was a different place.
Yeah, it was there. They have a Catholic chapel and a so-called Christian chapel and the Muslim chapel and every other religion you can think of chapel. But going down into the Catholic chapel, I went down there just to see, and in stone, engraved all across, you know, just like you see in stained glass in most of those Catholic churches, you see the crucifixion and Jesus Christ, because they just, you know, they love to have relive that and to have him up on that huge cross at the over the altar at the end of the, you know, in the front of the church. The other thing I noticed was talking to several people, some of who are on the ministry that live down in the Springs, that that museum there used to be more about the history of the Air Force, and they'd actually had quite a bit of military relics in there, like skeleton of bombs and things like that, airplane kind of things, which kind of makes sense since it's the Air Force. But when we went there, just, I don't know, a couple of years ago, I guess, it was the highlight, the biggest thing in that place was a mock-up of the dorm room of one of the cadets, you know, dorms. And it was like, are you kidding me? There was nothing that was military in that museum. And you look at what changed, and what changed was there's a woman who's in charge of that Air Force Academy now. And that was when apparently she revamped the museum there and removed any sign of a true Air Force military.
Yeah, that's interesting. I mean, and it's interesting how, you know, I remember, you know, how long have we been hearing and talking about how bad the military is and how not to, you know, not to get involved in it. You know, I was thinking about, you know, I know close to 20, probably 25 years ago that we were hearing, you know, having people that were talking about joining the military and everything. And, you know, even back 25 years ago, we were talking about how, you know, it's, once you do that, you're GI property. And, you know, it, everybody that was ever good in the military about that time was had gotten out of it, and how just, you know, how hard it was to find anybody that was decent in the military. And you know, that's been talked about in our circles for, I know, at least 25 years, and it's probably been a lot longer. I mean, even going back 10, 15 years ago, you know, I remember people contacting the pastor, talking to him about, you know, oh, our son or our grandson or my nephew wants to go into the military, you know, what do you think? And, you know, just about, you know, how the talks were just about, you know, it's the military is not a good place to be. We've instinctively, we've known that, you know, but at the same time, it's interesting because there's such a draw for so many people to get into that military system. And, I don't know, I think about the double-mindedness is we talk about, you know, how they've, it's been overtaken, and then we talk about how it's, you know, we're surprised when we hear these things, but really, I mean, you know, it's, I think the military's been taken over for quite a long time, and I remember hearing a lot of stories from the people that remember when they went from that brown boot to the black boot. And I remember Hoskins talked about it, and Pastor Peters talked about it, and Jack Moore talked about it a lot, on how there was just a major change in the military. And after that time period, you know, it was like all the people that were in there that were good, that had that true love for country, got out of it. And I don't remember exactly when that when the brown boot, black boot change came in. Does anybody remember that, what year that was?
I don't know.
Yeah, I was just curious about it.
But yeah, I think you're right. It's a different, well, the society is different today. So the military that represents that society is reflects that. It's as different as well. Let's try the phone lines again. Good morning. Welcome to Coffee with Ringers.
Yeah, what you guys have the phone number through the week so I can call you, order a DVD?
Same area code, 307. The office number during the week is 742
742.
Yeah, 742-7582. That's during the week.
7582.
Yeah, 742-7582 during the week. And the call-in number here is a little different.
One more question. Alex Jones is a Jesuit, and I'll take my answer off the air. Thank you.
I'm sorry?
Alex Jones is a Jesuit, and I'll take my answer off the air.
I still didn't understand what you were saying there, sir.
Is Alex Jones a Jesuit? I heard the other day somebody say he was a Jesuit.
You'd have to ask him that, probably.
Yeah. Okay. Thank you.
Sure.
Who was that?
His question was, is Alex Jones a Jesuit? And I told him he'd have to ask him that. I couldn't quite understand him. But our call-in number here, 307-745-5913. And I guess, my answer to that, or many of them, would be, it's by their fruits you shall know them. A good tree does not produce bad fruit, and a bad tree does not produce good fruit. So you just have to look at the fruit.
I don't know if you guys see that email Tim sent out yesterday from Nebraska. It was pretty interesting. In a middle school, public school book, they were talking about the Second Amendment, and it had a cartoon basically where the dad is teaching the child about the Second Amendment, and he says, yes, son, we do have the right to bear and own arms as long as we register them with the government, And it's like, wait a minute, that's not quite what the Second Amendment's about. And as you see this Common Core creeping into the public school system, I got to warn you, parents, if your kids are in those public schools, be very careful and watch closely, because they're implementing fully.
John, I'm going to add on top of that a little bit. Of course, it's just for me. If your kids are in public school, do all you can to get them out. That's a warning. Do all you can to get them out. I know some friends that are struggling financially, but they've made that decision that they're going to have their children in a Christian school. They're not going to have them in public school. Have them in a Christian school. Have them at least
one of the two,
or homeschool them in something. Get them out of that public school remnant. Do all you can to do that, because that John said, we have a Second Amendment as long as we register the guns. That's what's being taught to the second graders, the third graders. They are absolutely being brainwashed against Christianity. And if you think that 5 days a week in that brainwashing and a weekend at home with you or an hour or two in the evening is going to undo it, you're wrong. It's just as simple as that. And so it's just a warning.
You got to remember, all evil companions corrupt good morals.
Yeah. I came from the public schools. And, looking back, being a Christian now, certainly not being a Christian then, looking back, seeing, how it was, 30 years ago, it's incomparable now how much worse it's gotten. Jason mentioned how the military's probably was bad 20 years ago, 30 years ago. It's that much worse now. The public education system is that way as well. They will educate your child. It just may not be the way you want them to. Kyle, you've been awful quiet over there.
Yeah, just listening.
You got 5 minutes.
The good thing about it is we've all came out of situations, and I know times are way worse today than they were when I was 15 or 12, but we've all came out of situations where the only way we came out of it was God.
Amen.
Amen.
There's
grace and mercy.
They're just, that is the positive, I mean, I look at it from a little bit different point of view. I've known homeschoolers, Christian schoolers, public schoolers. They all have the problems.
Yes.
They all have their good points. When it really gets down to it, God can, it's like Elijah. Elijah's sitting there in the cave thinking he's the only one left alive, And God says, no, I've reserved 7,000. 7,000, And not that they did anything. God kept them. God preserved them. And I'm not saying sin so grace may abound. Not even close. I'm saying that prayer. Stay as close to God as you can.
Yes.
Because there are situations where, you know, everybody's living a different life.
Absolutely.
You know?
Absolutely.
And God can save yours just like he saved me. Just like he saved Richard, John, and Jason.
I'm staying be aware.
Yeah.
Because it used to be, I mean, it's always been an indoctrination, but now it's a full-blown, it wasn't happening fast enough, so now it's a full-blown federal mandated indoctrination.
It is, you know, but, you know, it's. Let's take a Christian school, for example. Very few Christian schools teach baptism for the remission of sins. Very few.
Yeah.
And if they do, I mean, if they do it, it's such a minute thing. You know, so your kids will grow up and they'll have this view that, well, that guy's a Christian and he don't believe in baptism. I mean, there's danger everywhere.
There
you
is.
Know, and prayer and teaching at home is the most important thing you can do. You know,
yeah. A lot of the Christian schools have adopted the Common Core thing.
Yeah, I
know. The money attached to it.
Yeah,
yeah. So there's no
Christian school. Don't mean it's right either.
And then those Catholic schools are even.
It's all about the prayer.
It is.
It's those layers of protection that have to be there, and it has to be the grandparents and the parents and the siblings and the church and.
Yep.
Absolutely.
I mean, all those layers of protection against the Antichrist is what's important.
Yeah. Very good point. Very good point. Well, guys, once again, we're running out of time here. We want to make sure we invite you to church tomorrow before we run out of time. Come to the website, scripturesforamerica.org, starting at 10 a.m. Mountain, 11 a.m. Central, and noon on the East Coast. And join us for a two-hour church service. And I think if you do that, you can go to the website, you can watch it, and click on the live video stream. If you have a good internet connection or if you have an iPhone, you can get it right there, and it's just crystal clear, and it's like you're sitting there with us in the church sanctuary. And if you don't have that, you can at least hit the audio and get the audio broadcast, like we'll be broadcasting on shortwave and the audio to the internet as well. But we do encourage you to join us there. And remember, mark your calendars for April 2nd. It's coming up less than 2 weeks away for the Passover. Join us for a broadcast then as well. Well, men, thanks for joining us. We'll go out with a song. The pastor always liked it. See you in church tomorrow.
Rolling, 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 stay high. This country's stolen. Keep on rolling over, stay high. Fast and pray together, make them health and forever, knowing the King is by our side. Those old snakes are clever, but Jesus is forever. God's waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, get them off, move them out, move them out, get them off, stay high.
Disapproving, keep on moving over, snake high. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hides. My heart's calculating, our King will be waiting, be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, head them off, move them out, head them off, snake high.
Disapproving, keep on moving over, snake hide. Don't try to understand them, just curse and stomp and strand them. Soon we'll be tanning their snake hide. My heart's calculating, our King will be waiting, be waiting at the end of our ride.
Move them out, head them off, move them out, move them out, head them off, snake hide.